The following is a recording of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information, visit gpts.edu.
First of all, I would like to thank you, GPTS, for allowing me to come to this high intellectual sacred ground this morning. And I know you are privileged to be here studying at this seminary that still keeps the Reformed thinking alive and promotes it throughout the country. Not just in the U.S., but outside the U.S., and I praise the Lord for that wonderful gift that He's given to this land. Let's read from the Word of God, and if you don't mind, I would like for you to stand again. Let's read now from Romans chapter 12. We are going to read verses 1 and 2. Romans 12. This is the Word of God. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your name, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Father, that you have redeemed us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, you have renewed our inner beings, our minds, and our hearts. Therefore, we can turn and lift our eyes to you and say, you are our Father in Him. You are our Savior in Him. Thank you, O Lord, for having put us in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ. And thank you for the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit that every day, every time reminds us that we need to turn our eyes toward the Lord. We pray, O Lord, that you may bless this great work of the seminary here in this land as they teach to people from different parts of the world. I pray, O Lord, that every one of them may catch this vision to spread the gospel of Christ throughout the earth, that they may be able to further the kingdom of Christ all over the earth. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I would like to excuse myself this morning using my laptop here. Maybe this may be offensive to some of you, but I didn't have the printer ready to print my notes in days to come. It was running here and there in Jackson, Mississippi. So allow me to read from my notes here in my laptop. So first of all, I would like to intimate to you that you are very blessed and privileged to be in this seminary. The fact you are here, some of you might not realize that, it's a good sign that your minds have been renewed. Because there is all options in this country to study in different seminaries, but you have chosen to come here. And I would say that that is a good sign that your minds have been renewed by the Lord. So in this passage we read, we begin with the word therefore. And as you are studying Greek and Hebrew, and I'm sure you read the scriptures in the original language day in and day out, so you know that this word therefore means more than it conveys by being a simple word. Therefore means like this. Paul is saying, you have read my letter. I have given to you all these great doctrines of grace in the first 11 chapters. And now the word therefore connects this chapter 12 all the way to 16 to the great doctrines of grace. Which means that if you are aware of these doctrines, knowing those doctrines has a consequence. And from chapter 12 on to chapter 16, Paul will teach what is the meaning of living as Christians according to these great doctrines of grace. So this wonderful word, therefore, is connecting the practical, the living out of the gospel of Christ to the great doctrines of grace, which means how shall then we live? We cannot live a Christian life without the understanding and the adopting and being converted to the great doctrines of grace. That's the idea of therefore. And then he uses the word brethren. Adelphoi is the word for brethren here. He is talking to the people of the church. And through them, he is talking to the church today as well. And there are two verbs here on which I would like to concentrate this morning. First, you have the verb here, service, the word to for worship. In the Spanish Bible, we have the equivalent of the King James Version called the Reina Valera version of the Bible. That was translated around 1509. It was translated by two Spaniards, and they did a very good job. But as some translations have, here and there, there's little difficulties in translation. So he translated the word latreias, translated in a different ways in the Bible. Sometimes he translates that word as culto, cultus, from the Latin cultus, which is not a very appropriate translation. But as a consequence of that, most of the pagan churches, they don't have a worship service. They have a cultus, which sounds very inappropriate in our own culture. People say, I'm going to the cultus. I'm going to el culto. So I have asked several pastors in Latin America, even Presbyterian pastors like in Mexico. You see, in Mexico, there are 3.5 million Presbyterians. 850,000, they say in Brazil. Some say 500,000. But I have asked them, what do you mean by going to the cultus? What's culto means? He said, well, we just inherited other words. Reina Valera sometimes translates the word latreia as a service, sometimes as a ministry, sometimes as culto, cultus. So he's not consistent in translating this word. But the word here, latreias, logike latreian, is the whole phrase. The word logike, which is Greek, appears also in 1 Peter, when it says that we shouldn't be wanting all the time this basic food, but he says you need, and Reina Valera translates, spiritual milk. Logike gala, spiritual milk. But here, logike latrean, in the Spanish Bible, it's translated culto racional, like rational cultus. So I have asked many of my pastor friends in Peru, what's the meaning of culto racional, or rational cultus, or logical cultus, logike latrean. So that's why I love the translation that I read to you. It is your service of worship. Because the word latrean in the Greek is a translation of a Hebrew word in the Old Testament, which is the word for servant and service, ebed. So my brother would know very well that word. You know, it is right there from the very beginning of the book of Genesis. And the Septuagint translated as latreias. So what Paul is saying to the Romans here is this, that our worship must be a worship done with understanding. So it doesn't mean logical in the sense of conditional logics, for example. If, then. That's not the idea. It is that our worship of God must be with a holy understanding. And understanding would mean that somebody has been transformed somebody has been renewed, which also means that anyone who has not been renewed, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, they cannot worship God with understanding. And maybe that is the main reason why there is lots of empty talk in American churches. The next word I would like to reflect on here is the word metamorphoste here. The noun is metamorphosis for that. And anyone who has done elementary school, maybe high school, have done some biology, you know what the word metamorphosis means. And the metaphor here is beautiful, because if you go out in the woods, you will see this nice insects. Some of them are very colorful. Some of them are nice butterflies. But they weren't like that all the time. There was a stage in the life of a beautiful butterfly. They were a long, warm, full of hair and ugly looking, like small little dragons, you know. But then, through this process of metamorphosis, it became the most awesome insect to be watched, to be seen. So, and Paul uses that very word here, being transformed, instead of being conformed to the worldview and empty talk of this world. So, and this transformation, which is qualitative transformation, can only happen through the work of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we ask this question, why is worship in our churches today so weird and so accommodating to the world? Maybe we need to ask the question, as pastors who lead worship, have we been transformed by the Holy Spirit? Have we been renewed in our minds, in our inner beings? And here the word nous comes across, minds. I am very attracted to philosophy of science, and I have read quite a bit about philosophy of mind, which is a fashion today. There is about 1,000 books published in the last 20 years on philosophy of mind. Mind is becoming very important today. It's even more important for the gurus of modern management. This Peter Drucker would say that if you want to have a success and have good workers, you must coach them to renew their minds, to change their philosophy of thinking, to change their worldview, to accommodate to the new culture of your clients. And he uses the word nous from the New Testament. He says, in order for them to be nice to their clients, they have to go through this process of renewing their minds. They have to have a different cultural transformation, he would say. And the word nous and the word metamorphosis here, we can pack them together and say that only the Holy Spirit can renew our worldview. And some people say in Peru, what has to do the renewal of our minds with worship? We need to, you know, change our songs, give up the psalms, and introduce this country music and rock and roll and whatever, you name it, whatever is attractive to the people. But here Paul is saying us that we must not conform to this age. And of course in the Bible, this age has a kind of negative connotation. It doesn't mean time, it doesn't mean epoch, it means the thinking of this time, of this age, of this present age, as opposed to the age to come. So what Paul is teaching us here, that as a consequence of believing the great doctrines of grace, and you will never believe those doctrines unless you are converted by the Lord. So in the end, whoever has been converted to Christ and has grasped and believed these great doctrines of Christ through the renewal of your mind by the Holy Spirit, then you will be able to worship Him with an understanding of your mind. And He says that this is our holy sacrifice. And this is why we can know that the will of God is good and perfect. So why people would not like to conform to the will of God? We should ask the question. Maybe their inner beings have not yet been renewed by the Holy Spirit. So I pray that as you study here, and as you study these biblical languages, you will reflect upon this, that believing the great doctrines of grace is not just in order to preach them, it's in order to live by them. Right. May the Holy Spirit grant that by me, may be the case with you all. Thank you, dear brethren in Christ.
Amen. Would you close in prayer?
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful and grateful to you. We are so grateful, O Lord, that you were willing to come here, O Father, in the body of Jesus Christ, our incarnate God. And as He ascended to the Father, to be in session with the Father, He sent the Holy Spirit, this transforming power that one day came to every one of us and brought us from darkness into the light of the children of God. Father, this morning I pray for my brothers in Christ that are studying in this seminary, that through your word, the Holy Spirit may apply these great doctrines of grace into their minds and hearts and constantly renew them so that they would not only believe these doctrines, but they would live according to these doctrines. Grant to all of us, Lord, that that be the case in each of us as we preach, teach, pastor churches, and even plant churches, that you may help us to plant from the very beginning churches that may believe your word and be ready to live by your word. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for watching this production of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information, visit gpts.edu.